Today is a very auspicious day. According to the Vaishnav calendar, it is the disappearance anniversary of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, one of the greatest and most important of all our Vaishnav acharyas. He was the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. There are three principal biographies of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first was written by Lochan Das Thakur, the second by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and the next by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami offers his obeisances profusely to Vrindavan Das Thakur, explaining that he is none other than the incarnation of Vedavyas. He was a direct disciple of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he was brought up in the house of Vasudev Dutt, who was considered the most merciful and compassionate of all living entities. Lord Chaitanya used to say, "I was born simply for Vasudev Dutt." The mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur was a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya. And when she was just a child of 4 years old, Lord Chaitanya used to feed her his Mahaprasad with his very hands. And it is explained because of this benediction that Vedavyas himself had taken birth from her womb. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, appeared in this age of Kali Yuga as predicted in such scriptures as the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata, Vaman Purana, and various other literatures. And he appeared as Chana Avatar in the guise of a devotee. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita the essence and perfection of religion. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishami masucham. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. But Krishna appeared again in the form of Lord Gauranga to teach by his example how to surrender to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya came in the role of a devotee. He would not claim himself to be God. Rather, if anyone ever called him God, he would hold his ears and cry out, "Vishnu, Vishnu, save me from this contamination. We are eternally the servant of God." And he taught this eternal servitorship as a supreme perfection of life. Lord Chaitanya came. God comes in the form of a devotee to teach us how to perfect our life according to our everyday living. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught every class of men by his example how to perfect their lives. For the first portion of his life, when he was a child, he taught how to be a perfect student. The next portion, he taught how to be the perfect example of a grihastha in the family life. And at the last stages of his life, he taught the perfect performance of one's duties as a sannyasi in the renounced order. So Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur specifically emphasizes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's household life as a married man. And he teaches that anyone who wants to be God-conscious must follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya's example. He married a very beautiful, chaste young lady of the name Vishnu Priya. I'm sorry, Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi was his first wife. And together they lived with his widowed mother, Sachi Devi. It is explained that they would not waste a moment. They would keep every aspect of their lives together in the service of others. Lord Chaitanya and Lakshmi Devi would never cook food for themselves. They would cook for the Lord, for Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And they would offer it to him for his satisfaction. Whatever wealth Lord Chaitanya would earn, he would understand, it is not my wealth. Whatever I earn is meant for serving those people who are in distress. It is explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur that when Lord Chaitanya, before he would eat, he would always invite various sadhus to his home. Not only sadhus, but anyone who was in need. He would invite them to his home, and how he would greet them, with such love, with such hospitality. Lord Chaitanya explained that if a husband and wife do not make a guest feel love and so much welcome and comfort when they come to their home, then that Grihastha ashram is no better than the nests of birds or than the holes that snakes live in. Grihastha life means our home is not ours. Our home is meant to serve others. It is explained that one time 20 sannyasis without invitation or without warning came to the home of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, Lord Chaitanya told his beloved mother, who was very aged at the time, he said, we must prepare a wonderful feast for them. But Sachi Devi noticed that there was no food in the house. But she could not refuse her son. He knew how strong he was about greeting guests in this way, especially sannyasis. So just at that time, someone happened to come and offer as a donation all kinds of wonderful foods, ghee and grains and vegetables and fruits and milk. Lakshmi Devi went into the kitchen all by herself and began to cook with such joy, with such pleasure. In this way, she cooked a wonderful feast. Lord Chaitanya personally directed the serving to make sure they were all completely satisfied. He offered them flowers. He offered them sandalwood pulp. He offered them sweet, loving words. And when they were fully satisfied with all humility, he begged, how else can I serve you? And these 20 sannyasis, when they left, they were just overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Lakshmi Devi was none other than Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, who incarnated in this world to show how earthly people can be ideal chaste wives. Lakshmi Devi never expected any servants or any help. She would simply expect whatever pleased her husband. It is explained sometimes guests would come, she would spend the entire day cooking for them, the entire day serving them, the entire day cleaning everything. She would go every morning early. She would decorate the temple by making nice designs on the floor, by making beautiful flower arrangements that she would go out to pick, by going to get Ganges water to make beautiful offerings for them, by decorating the deity so nicely. And sometimes, till late, late at night, she was just serving her husband's guests, cooking for them, cleaning. She would work so hard, and she was in total joy. She was in such bliss because she was tasting the nectar of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Whatever her husband wanted, there was no question of complaining or refusing. There was never question of anything but being totally grateful for the chance to assist him in his service to others. Because she knew that nothing he did was for himself. Everything he did was for the benefit of other living beings. Even when he would be walking down the street, if he saw any person that was genuinely poor or in distress, he would help them in any way he could. And because he was such a selfless servant of society, she was so grateful to have the opportunity to assist him. According to Lord Chaitanya, this is what grihastha life means. That whatever wealth we have, whatever abilities we have, that the husband and a wife together utilize all these resources in seva, never for our own sense gratification, never for our own prestige or pride, but to uplift others, especially those who are in distress. And factually, due to a lack of God consciousness, everybody, the rich and the poor, everyone is in distress in this world. Therefore, to help uplift other people's consciousness by giving prasad, by assisting sadhus, by being proper examples of devotees, is the greatest charity we can offer. In our modern day, there was a great descendant of Lord Chaitanya in disciplic line, who also showed the highest principles of exemplary behavior in the grihastha ashram. His name was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He lived from the mid-19th century into the early 20th century. He's practically a contemporary example. Bhaktivinoda Thakur showed how one can be so responsible and so highly respected in society and simultaneously be a perfect servant of God and society and humanity. He was a district magistrate. He was a judge under the British government, which was incredibly demanding. It is explained that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was such an expert magistrate that he would try 30 to 50 cases every single day. What took every other magistrate in India a half hour to do, he would do in 5 minutes. Because he had such a crystal clear consciousness. Within minutes he could know who's guilty and who's innocent, and what their punishment or what their reward should be. It is explained that They would not even allow him to retire. He was so valuable. The British government, when he was living in Navadvip Dham, they built a railway track from the courthouse to his house just to facilitate him there getting there on time. That's how valuable he was to them. It is explained that he would get home from work around 7. He would take little prasad. He would do some preaching. He would take rest about 8 or 9. By 10 or 11, he would be awake. Every night, he would spend 6 hours in writing books about Vaishnava philosophy. As a grihastha, he wrote over 100 books in various languages himself, describing the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the life of Lord Chaitanya. Then at about 4 o'clock in the morning, he would chant japa for about 2.5 hours, immersed in prayer and meditation in the holy name, until about 6:30. He would take little rest. Then he would rise, and then he would do his correspondence for exactly 1/2 hour. Then guests would come. He would greet guests, preach to guests, give them counseling and guidance. There was always lines of guests coming to get his spiritual advice. He would do that for 1 hour. Then he would walk back and forth on his veranda, getting exercise and just contemplating what he had. First he would read for about 1 hour from the Shastras. Then he would walk on veranda and just meditate on what he had read from the scriptures. Then he would take little prasad, spend little time with his family. By 9:45, when he was living in Jagannath Puri, at one time he was magistrate there, he would take his carriage to the courthouse and be there promptly by 10. He would try cases from 10 until 1. He would come home, take little rest, take little prasad, be back by 2, and from 2 till about 6, he would again be doing this, his job as a judge. This was his life. Every moment, he was the most responsible person in society that anyone could be. But when he was not doing his service for the government, every single second was for Krishna. Throughout the land, he was famous as a person who never ever wasted a moment. He was either preaching, writing books about Krishna consciousness, reading the Shastras, chanting the holy names, counseling others. He had 10 children. They were fully nourished physically, mentally, and spiritually. Each one of his 10 children was an exalted devotee of the Lord. His wife, Bhagavati Devi Dasi, was thoroughly in the same mood as him. She raised those 10 children with such love and devotion in such a way that they all became great devotees of God. She was always there to assist her husband in all of his preaching and everything he wanted to do. One of those 10 children that he raised was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is my Param Guru. And he used to extol the glories of his father as if he had 1,000 mouths. In fact, before Bhakti Siddhanta was born, Bhaktivinoda, seeing the distressful condition of people in society, he prayed to God, "Please send one of your eternal associates as my child to deliver the teachings of Bhagavad Gita to the world." In an answer to his prayer, this great Nitya Siddha Paramahamsa Acharya was born to him. The schedule I'm speaking of was the exact schedule he would keep every day when he was living in Jagannath Puri. Besides being a magistrate, working from 10 till 1, 1 till 6, spending 6 hours a day writing Vaishnava literatures, spending 2.5 hours a day chanting the holy names, doing correspondence and preaching hours and hours a day, he was also the superintendent for the Jagannath Temple. The British government saw nobody but him that could do the job nicely. It is explained at that time the offerings for Jagannath, everything was dirty, everything was disorganized, and he went in there and he made it the most prompt and the most efficient temple in all of India. He performed all these duties and still raised 10 children perfectly and provided for them everything they needed. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught that the example given by Lord Chaitanya is not something that is out of anyone's reach. It is practical. Grihastha life means a life of sacrifice. Human life means a life of sacrifice. Nayam deho deha bhajam nuloke kastan kaman arhati vidbhujam jai. Tapodivyam putra kayena satvam sudhyajasyam brahmasokyam panantam. The Lord explained that this human form of life is meant for self-realization. Whether you are a brahmachari, a grihastha, a vanaprastha, or a sannyasi, every ashram is meant for self-realization, not for sense enjoyment. Some people think, now I'm a grihastha, now I will enjoy my senses, and when I grow old, then I'll become a sannyasi and perform tapasya. This is an illusion. This is cheating yourself. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, Grihe tako vane tako, sadahadi bole tako, suke duke bulo nako, vajne harin nam korore. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beautiful songs glorifying the goal of life and love of Krishna. Tonight we sang Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. This is one of the beautiful bhajans written by this great Thakur Bhaktivinoda. In this song, he's explaining whether you are a grihastha or whether you are a sannyasi makes absolutely no difference. If you just take shelter of the holy name and take shelter of the means of chanting, which is to be the servant of the servant of the servant, your life will be perfect. You will be free from all distress and taste the sweetness of the goal of life, pure love. Prahlad Maharaj explains that when a man and a wife are attached to sense gratification and are attached to building an empire for their own prestige, then that household is like a deep, dark well, where once falling in, it's practically impossible to come out. But Prahlad Maharaj explained that by living one's life with God in the center, with bhakti in the center, one's family, one's home, is non-different than Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one song has sung, Je dhuna grihe bhajanad Jedi nagri hai bhajana dekhi grihe te goloka bhaya Sharanasi dute kiya ganga sukasa suma paya. The translation is that whenever I come home, I see the very house that I live transformed into Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. Goloka Vrindavan appears in my home whenever I see the worship and service of Lord Hari going on there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this is the greatest joy. To be greedy is the propaganda of this whole world. To be a servant, to be generous, to be charitable, to live for others is the propaganda of all the great scriptures, the propaganda of God and all the saints. Human life is meant for service. Krishna will provide everything, but let us use everything in the glorification of God, in the service of others. And that is where real joy, that is where real love can be found. This is the true spiritual conception of family life. In this way, our own spiritual master, he explained, Srila Prabhupada, that the grihasthas in his mission, he considered better than sannyasis, because they were utilizing their God-given talents so much in the service of the Lord for the benefit of others. So today really is a very rare and wonderful occasion, because we are witnessing an engagement ceremony that is based on these holy and divine principles. Ranchor and Vrindapriya, or you may know them as Rajiv and Vinita, they happen to be one out of millions of human beings. How many marriages take place in this world? But when do we ever see a marriage that is where the two parties are coming together with love and trust in one another for the service of God and the upliftment of humanity? They are setting an example for the world to follow. We have some sannyasis here, we have some brahmacharis here, but let's face it, how many people will follow their example in life? Most of society will be grihasthas. The most vital need in human society is for grihasthas to teach by their example a life of selfless service, charity, generosity, compassion, and devotion to God. And they are coming together for this purpose. They're dedicating so much of their time and energy in the service of humanity under the direction of their Gurudev. Yesterday we had wonderful occasion to be at Ranchorji's house, his father and mother, such pious and kind people. To raise children with the aim of making them pure devotees is the great responsibility of every grihastha. But the children will not learn by our words, but by our example. And we see practically the greatness of these personalities we have mentioned, and the great contribution and humility that they are offering to the world. So, I'm just personally so overwhelmed and pleased to see this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Lord Chaitanya explained the first and foremost responsibility of grihasthas is to seek shelter and guidance from genuine sadhus. Lord Chaitanya was always seeking to serve sannyasis. When Ishwarapuri, his Gurudev, came to Navadvip, he was constantly serving him, feeding him, inquiring from him, offering his whole family to him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gorkishore Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji, he was constantly associating with these great souls and seeking out their guidance. Brahmacharis and sannyasis do not set such a good example for the people in general. But when Krishna-conscious householders learn how to properly respect them and serve them, their lives become perfect. And that example given by the grihasthas in that sense is the highest example to the whole world to follow. And we really see this most sublime and divine mood of devotion in Ranchur and Vrindapriya. So really, I am just so happy and joyful, and I think everyone here is so happy and joyful to see this wonderful arrangement with the divine blessings of all their parents, their grandparents. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj, on behalf of our whole line of great acharyas, I beg all these great souls to bestow their infinite blessings upon Ranchur and Vrindapriya. And I pray that everyone here tonight offer your prayers and blessings, that their marriage be a wonderful marriage, full of joy, full of happiness, full of devotion and love for Krishna, and full of service, and more service and more service for the people of this world who so much are in need of Krishna. Haribol.